Do you know what your partner's up to when you're away and they're all alone?
No, what?
They're listening to the Screw podcast, of course.
What's that?
Sit back, relax, and listen.
And you're an orgasm addict. You're an orgasm addict. Sneaking in the back door with dirty magazines. So your mother wants to know what all the stains on the jeans. And you're an orgasm addict.
No, you don't have to do that anymore.
I'm almost 40. I've been doing this for 8 years, and I still don't understand how to do it.
I know. Well, so. Sometimes we up our tech here or catch up with the times.
If it wasn't for you, this would not exist. Anyways, thanks for tuning into the Screw podcast. We're back from a small hiatus because Aaron and I have new things we were doing. So we had a little hiatus, but we're back.
We're back with a vengeance.
And I think I'm using my microphone better now. So we'll see. We'll see how it turns out.
Yeah, that's amazing. No, well, you know, I'm here for it. I'm here for it. I've been looking forward to it. Did you just pull that out of your tits?
Yeah. So my,
I've always been jealous of that.
My vape needed to be warmed up because the juice wasn't juicy.
Oh my God. So if I put my vape between my butt cheeks, it'll
thaw out. It will. Okay. Sometimes I put it under my apron belly, between my belly and my fupa.
I have never heard of that term until I met you. And I was like, baby, have you heard of this term? And he was like, I don't think so. But instantly knew what it meant, which is
it's like a belly that hangs down.
Because you fold the apron usually when you're tying it, right? Is that the deal?
Okay. I guess. I don't know. So before TikTok was a thing, I didn't realize there was an official term for it either.
Oh.
And now I know that there's an official term for it. And it makes me feel less... You know, it makes me feel more comfortable about les aprons. I don't know any French words.
Oh my
god. But I do.
Les aprons. No, that's beautiful.
I had a whole morning of talking to my hamster Kona in a French thing.
And kudos to France. They decided to go with the further left leaning instead of the further right leaning, which is great news because everybody thought the right wing of France was going to win the elections, and they did not. Bitches. And it was super, super anti-LGBTQ+ rhetoric this election from the French right-wingers. Right-wingers.
Right-wing it.
Yeah. Oh, so you know, I probably don't want to stick that vape in my ass, though, after that video you sent me about gay men and food poisoning.
Yeah.
Which is so funny because
I thought it was funny because you and I always talk about ass to mouth fever.
Clean your asshole.
But it's true. Like, listen, you are never going to be 100% bacteria free in any part of your body.
And you honestly shouldn't be because some of that bacteria is there for a reason.
Right. But what was the bacteria that one of the people referenced?
I don't know, squiggly or something, scagula, sagalia or something. I don't know.
We used to be interested in teaching you things. Now we're just interested in fucking off. So
I mean, but it's so funny. I hadn't seen that video. You and I talk in text more than we and I don't put on my Instagram notifications because they drive me crazy because I'm all OCD about notifications on my phone. I have to clear them as soon as I see them. But I was watching it waiting to set up, and somebody hit me up on Grindr and asked me if I wanted to eat their dirty ass. And I literally, if I could figure out how to send that Instagram video via Grindr, I totally would have.
You just have to copy the link. Click on the little
no
arrow.
Grindr doesn't let you place links in your messages.
Oh, that makes
yeah
sense.
None of the fuck apps let you do that. You can it gives you things in the profile now where you can list your Facebook or your Instagram or whatever, but you can't send.
But just the name of it, not the actual.
It lets you record live and disappearing videos or shit like that. I think if you have premium or something. I haven't had premium Grindr since I was a young boy.
I was a young boy.
Not that young, but I'm, you know, relatively Grindr speaking.
Didn't exist then.
I know it didn't.
Neither did the internet.
I that bitch. And milk was 90 cents.
I had no internet as a young boy myself.
It's not the only thing you didn't have as a young boy. yeah, that took you a minute. Unless you did, and I don't know, and I didn't mean to out you, I'm sorry.
It's funny. I had a pretty healing conversation with a member of my family recently where I was like, you know, I made myself into a boy as a young child, right? And they were like, oh, yeah, this makes sense. And I was like, yeah, look at the psychology going here.
Yeah.
There was a lot of psychology right there.
You know, it wasn't until recently I realized, because, like, you know, obviously I follow Lady Bunny because she a hardcore leftist these days. Not that she wasn't always political, but I just realized that night we went out for Halloween that people, I think, thought you were Lady Bunny.
Oh, 100%.
That wig.
I was absolutely giving Lady Bunny.
You were. I mean, people just kept stopping us because they thought you were like a famous drag queen. And I thought,
yeah,
fabulous. And
it's funny because out of everybody, only one person thought, or knew, I should say, that I was not a drag queen, king queen.
Yeah. Well,
it's just a drag queen, for the record. A woman or femme presenting person dressed in drag as a female drag queen is still a drag queen,
right? Of course. Like, yeah.
I've always said, like, drag king,
but
queen,
but
queen,
that king. wasn't I feel like, other than like Victor Victoria and a few choice notables back in the day, right, like, that wasn't really a thing when we were doing that. And like now, like, you know, I mean, people feel all sorts of ways about this, but I think it's kind of fabulous, you know, like, it's a character, you're creating characters, and like, oh, so beautiful. Yeah. And you have like major drag queen, like, I mean, you had like some Bianca Del Rio fucking voice on that night, and like, it was just it was all sweeties and darlings.
On the record, in my head, I was giving Pickle Surprise.
Oh, no. Which
of the drag queens from Pickle Surprise? That was my intent, at least.
Which is kind of similar to Lady Bunny, like, in all fairness.
Yeah.
The over-the-top hair.
For people that don't know, go to YouTube and type in Pickle Surprise, and then you will watch the most amazing commercial for a mayonnaise that has pickle in it, I guess. It wasn't really.
Therein lies the joke.
It's funny because my old roommate, I guess, worked with the guy or guys that created that fucking video. Like, what a weird full circle thing.
You know,
how crazy is that?
Between that video and that fucking obnoxious song, Shoes. Do you remember the YouTube?
Yeah.
Shoes. I remember
That performer just performed Shoes recently.
No.
It just made its way over the internet. Yeah.
Hilarious. Yeah. I mean, I love seeing a good, like, retro YouTube fucking moment for people, but.
Yeah. I wasn't a huge, like, look at YouTube person, but the few YouTubes that came across my plate, if you will, were always ones that I'll remember forever, you know?
Yeah. Those, like, we got a lot of miles off of Pickle Surprise.
You know.
I think we would just get high and just keep saying, but that's a surprise. That's a surprise.
Yeah, we would just be like, where's the pickle? That's the surprise. It was fun.
It was beautiful.
So, yeah, so that was what I was giving, but everybody.
Yeah, I mean,
one person.
We were rocking around New York.
I remember that one guy that was like, can I put my head in, or can I, no. So worded it as, can I motorboat you?
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, of course, because you're the only one that knows.
We should have charged for pictures. I mean, what kind of dumbass, starving New Yorkers didn't like.
That was before the hustle economy way was a thing.
That's true.
In generic public space. Like, of course, if we were at.
Oh, yeah, if we were in Times Square. If we were in Times Square, although we would have got in trouble for not having a permit or something, because I think they all.
No, but like, if we were in like a performance space, like a burlesque or a drag or a, you know, something that would be normal to tip the person that you're you know, that's performing.
Our whole life is
whatever
a performance
they're
performing.
Space. I was performing gender, you know.
Oh, performing gender. Yeah, That was beautiful. I'm nostalgic. What can I tell you? New York City. We were young.
I know. You need to come back.
Hung and full of dumb.
Always full of dumb.
It was beautiful. It was beautiful. Yeah. So there you have it.
So how was your Pride month? Did you do anything Pride-alicious?
Oh my God. Yes. Yes. Definitely did lots of Pride-related ish activities. You know, it was the first time, like, for like the whole month, like, we tried to like watch like queer show or queer film every night of the month to celebrate.
That's fun. I didn't know that you did that.
Yeah, it was kind of cool. I mean, like, a lot of the stuff we have our like come back to's every year. Like, Priscilla is always going to be there, and they're about to make a sequel with the original cast.
No fucking way.
Yes, fucking way. After however many years. Yes, the whole cast, all of them.
They're, is it coming to theaters, or is this like a straight to streaming? Or?
I hope not. I would consider, like, with all of the, like, it's a cult classic, essentially, and gave birth to so much. Like, I.
Okay, here's the deal. If that comes out in theaters and it's playing, someone that's listening needs to send me money so I can fly to Erin.
And we can watch it. That is so beautiful. Oh no, I would love that.
Seriously, I would love that. Holy yeah, sponsor and if you sponsor me going to Erin to watch this, I will send you an exclusive behind the scenes video of me getting ready for it, us partying, us having a great time. That's a great idea.
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
No, but seriously, that would be super fun.
That would be
because you were the person
fun.
I watched it with.
I wonder when
time.
It's I you know, I haven't it's been I think I read about it at the beginning of June. I haven't seen I haven't followed up since then, but you know, and it's too bad that they can't do like so Tu Wong Fu tend to follow up Priscilla with Tu Wong Fu. I mean, they came out very similar. Unfortunately, Patrick Swayze RIP, you know, they can't do like a reboot of that, and like we just watched that and it was like what a like a shame that he went so early, you know, because he did a lot of fun things that, like, you know, definitely were nostalgic of my childhood, you know.
I definitely forgot that he died, for the record.
Oh,
I cannot
I'm so
keep
sorry.
Up with
I'm sorry to be the one that okay. tell you
to tell me again.
Yeah,
no, it's not until people like it dawned on me, yes, that happened, but I don't know, for some reason my brain cannot store as much as it used to.
It's called aging, my love.
Okay, and that, and also I think the amount of information that comes across our brains and eyes and everything every single day is too much.
Yeah.
Because we have access to so many different platforms, to so much different information and the highway that it gets to us. You know, I'll have TV on with my cell phone in my hand, scrolling through TikTok, closing that out, going to Twitter, closing that out, going to news. There's so much to absorb every fucking day. Whereas, yes, also I'm aging. This isn't me excusing the fact that I'm aging and I'm not going to remember as much. But I think that before, we only had access to just a small amount of info throughout the day. And so it was a lot easier to, like, take a moment to digest said info. Sometimes it's hard. I'll read, Patrick Swayze passed away. And then two scrolls later, there's another monumental, you know, one of my favorite hamsters online that I follow passed away or something, you know,
there's too
much going on at once. So I don't have time to like fully digest. And I think that that's a big, recently I was like, why can't I remember all of the TV shows that I watch? A lot of these TV shows are very good and they're very, you know, they have memorable moments. And it's not until I watch, you know, I get to that memorable moment or whatever that I remember I even watched something sometimes. I have to rewatch a whole fucking season to be like, oh, I watched this before. And I think it's because 2 seconds later, I'm putting on the next show and I'm indulging in that. And it's like, do we even know what we're reading, watching, enjoying anymore?
Yeah, our minds are becoming like this data dump, right? Like, and
it's so weird.
And so what I've tried to do as much as humanly possible is to kind of put some boundaries up with my information intake. I get like an email from this news source called 1440. I think that's what it is. It's like the year the printing press was supposedly developed or whatever. And they send out, you know, and the whole point is, like, you can read Associated Press or whatever. You know, that's also good for, like, a fairly non-biased kind of new. Like, I don't like, what do you call it? Like, editorializing in my news. I just want to hear what happened.
Right.
I just want to think about it myself first before anybody starts telling me what to think about it. Sure. So I kind of like do everything. I read my little 1440 email every day, and it's cute. It has like, and there's so few things that have this, and this is speaking to all the stuff that we get pounded with all day long. You know, it gives you the headlines. It has, like, you know, a small sports section. I like it because they, one of few places that still, like, give information about soccer, you know. And I would think with, like, soccer, like, really ramping up in this country, more things would let you know. But it has that. And then it has this really cute thing called Humankind, which is like a section of all these headlines of like really beautiful human stories of things people have done nice to each other instead of the hateful things people have done to each other.
I love that.
It is. And then it has like a little this day in history thing, which I always like. It'll tell you, you know, who was born and, you know, who passed away or like what great event happened on that day. So I like it. But that's about all the information outside of everything else in the world that I can deal with in a day.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Give me that.
I think you know what? That's a good suggestion. I think I need to put up a boundary for myself of, because lately I've put up a boundary of like how much I will speak to people.
Yeah. You have to
throughout my day, because it's just, I'm sorry, but there's no way that I can give the energy I think that you deserve
right.
to every single person that might come my way. So yeah. I like break it off into chunks. So I think that's a good idea for the information I'm consuming too. It's like,
yeah.
I need to actually give my brain time to let it absorb the thing, mm-hmm. whether it's a TV show, whether it's a piece of news, whether sure. it's a tragic moment, whatever it might be. I need to give myself the time instead of just moving on to the next thing. Mm. So I think that's a good suggestion, is like give myself a limit of how yeah. much I'm going
I
to
mean,
consume a day.
Look, and this is me again after a bazillion years of therapy, but it took me a long time to like filter in and like really like live the idea that boundaries are not a bad thing. That boundaries are
right.
like really important for your own self-care, right? You know, we want to be there for everybody. And, you know, some activist friends of mine and people that like doing movements, we always have that conversation. Like, it's great. Everything you're doing is great. But when are you taking care of yourself?
Yourself,
because
yeah.
if you're completely, you know, exhausted and emotionally unavailable, you know, you're not going to be able to do a lot for that movement. You know, you really have to.
I do think that a big piece of why people do that is self-sabotage in a way. It's so much easier to help other people than it is to work on yourself. It's harder to face yourself in the mirror than it is to help somebody that's struggling or to give your energy or time to something that you find more worthy because you maybe are feeling less than or feeling like you're undeserving. So I think that that's a piece of it that we don't talk about often, is people are always like, well, when do you take time for yourself? And I'm like, I'm not saying activists. I'm just saying in
yeah,
general.
Yeah, yeah, no, for sure.
There's a lot of people that don't want to take, like they know they need it. They
yeah.
absolutely should make that time.
Yeah.
But then the quiet begins
yeah.
and the noise stops, and then you're faced with the reality of who you are and how you're feeling about yourself and where you are in the world.
Sure.
And all of those
sure.
truths that are tough to face on
yeah.
a regular basis if you are struggling in some kind of way, whether it's depression, whether it's just general disdain for what you have going on, whatever it might be. It's so much easier to put that aside and be like, hey, friends,
absolutely.
Hey, five friends I don't have time for. Truly, let me give you all of my time instead. You know, it's,
no, absolutely.
I think it's a way for us to avoid our own truth.
No, it's yeah. I mean, but we get it, right? Like, think of the world.
No, of
most people are struggling.
I mean, it sucks in a way where I want to help everybody.
Oh, sure.
Because I don't want to help myself.
Sure, sure. No, for sure. I, and unfortunately, I think people end up cycling through either friendships or things that they want to be involved in a lot quicker because they don't take that space. You know, when you see like a heavy turnover, you know, in like movement organizing or any of these things, you know, I'll often just hear it's burnout, you know, and then it either they get back to it or a few years or they don't. And, you know, obviously, like, that sucks if you, you know, were so burnt out, you feel like you can't get back to it, you know. But it's tough work, and the world is very depressing. It's very difficult to make ends meet in this world these days, you know. So people have a lot going on, and it's easy to distract yourself and not sit with yourself. But, you know what I do. I always say, hey, none of this is my fault. This is the fucking world we were given. So I have to do my best to try to live happy because it only hurts me when I don't, you know. And I think that's hard. Happiness is a choice. It sounds very privilegey, but it's also making best of wherever you're at, unfortunately. So, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't, there's so many things going on and like, you know, this fucking jackass. You know what I'm hoping? I'm hoping that this is the last election we think old white men are viable candidates for anything. And I don't mean this in an ageist way. I mean this in, come the fuck on.
I think even the people that... aside from like truly brainwashed that swath of America, I think I don't think anybody is sitting back right now thinking, yeah, this is it.
No,
you know, because even the older voters are not, you know, they're looking around at their peers and they're thinking, I wouldn't want you to be my president, so why am I voting for somebody even older than you? Yeah. And even with less faculties, like,
Would you want your angry racist grandpa at Thanksgiving dinner to become president? I don't think you would.
Yeah, I just, I don't know. It's kind of,
I'm not saying.
I don't think a lot of people are like, genocide Joe. Yeah.
Oh my God, that term
is
so funny.
Unfortunately, that's, you know, we don't have many options here. So it's just one of those like depressing realities.
No, it's true. And this lesser evilism politic has ruled the day.
I would love to see a true election where it's not like, well, this is this and this is this,
yeah,
and this, yeah, with lesser of the two evils. Like,
this is probably the unpopular opinion, and I don't mean it in a feasible way. Like, I definitely don't think a Trump presidency is a good thing by any means, but perhaps at least on the electorate side we'll like be able to imagine a point where we're not in this position anymore, where like we don't feel like these are our only options, you know.
Right.
It's, I mean, whatever, we've talked about it a million times. It's heinous, but like, you know, people should focus, especially if that god awful thing happens. Actually, it's god awful for either of them, let's be real, but like,
what is that new thing that he's trying, that they're going to put into place? Project 2025? Project 2025, which is, it's all conservative, back to the family, like,
totally
misogynist, racist.
Clearly in response to the critical race theory.
Homophobic, transphobic. It's just,
it's an old school playbook platform, right? You know.
Yeah, it's giving. Never mind. I'm not going to say what it's giving, but you can probably guess where I was going to go with that. Let's just not do that. That would be great. Yeah.
In the interim, I would like strongly encourage people to like not use the time to get discouraged. Use the time to participate locally as much as you can. Make the immediate world around you as safe and inclusive and caring and human as possible, you know. And we have to think about that, you know. We have to think about how we make sure all the things that like really affect us directly don't get corrupted by this ideology as well. That, you know, we have progressive people on school boards and in local elections, people that don't put up for any of this nonsense and this anti-trans behavior. And we just, going back is such a, I think it scares people so much, especially people that have worked on these issues for decades and really did have a feeling that things were improving, you know. But I also think it's a cautionary tale. You never have to stop fighting. Like, the struggle is always going to be there. There's always going to be somebody that is going to be banging at the wall looking for cracks, you know, and we have to be diligent. You have to speak up. You know, my biggest PTSD is after Trump was like elected the first time, seeing like so much out loud and open racism and homophobia and xenophobia, you know, especially in New York City. It was truly terrifying listening to the shit people felt they could say now.
Emboldened,
you know, and people don't think about that. You know, it's not just about what that man does or doesn't stand for. It's about what people feel entitled to when you elect somebody like that.
Yeah, just, and that's in New York. I mean, just go to a place like South Carolina and every single other bumper sticker is just...
Yeah,
has something about gender or bathrooms, or I'm like, you are obsessed. You are fucking obsessed with the communities that you probably like have a secret. Like, you, it's not a secret obsession. It's an overt obsession, but like you're covertly really intrigued, you know. It's just this weird, you know, thou doth protest too much.
Sure. Well, and like you mentioned Pride, and I will say this has been a shaky Pride season. Parades have been canceled. You know, the rhetoric and, you know, definitely the stuff around Palestine and Gaza have like created a very... Just be safe. If your Pride hasn't happened yet, be safe, be aware. I definitely think you all should go and you should fight to keep your Pride marches alive, you know? Mm-hmm. And what I'm hoping, especially after this year, some people see that Reclaim Pride and all the counter Pride movements and protest marches have some validity when we look and see what's going on out there. You know, we have to stand in solidarity for all oppressed and kind of... people that are under attack right now, you know, and I don't think it's a tough issue. I think, unfortunately, there's a heavy level of long and institutionalized propaganda with some of these issues, so they're very easy for people to stir up and make problems for. And unfortunately, they are preying on generations of misinformation, so it's really hard to kind of understand what's going on in the world. Follow the money is always a love's answer. See what's going on. You know,
I'd love to follow the money myself.
Yeah I mean, and
so my Pride was pretty boring. I didn't like do anything for it.
No,
but I did work a show.
Nice.
That I helped book. Which I didn't advertise, but I did help book it. It was an all-women's wrestling show, and it was for Queer Punk Outlaws, and it was super-duper fun, and I did not book myself as the main event, but I was the main event, and by I was, I mean the wrestlers. But I helped with, like, the storyline and the whole thing, and it was fun. I had a great time, and I got to tell an entire crowd of queer people that they had nothing to be proud of during Pride Month, and I got all of the boos.
That's beautiful.
I am the villain in
the ultimate heel
story. It was fun. I was like, you know, the crowd wasn't like a super wrestling crowd, so I had to make sure that they knew to hate me, and oh boy did they. It was awesome.
The footage I saw was amazing, and you did a fabulous job, and I love it because it's the first time I was like, because you and I were on a conference call for some other shit, and you had to take that call for like the planning call, so like I kind of like, it was kind of cool seeing you switch your hats. No, it was, I was listening like a chismosa, but I wouldn't say I was part of it. I didn't put out any spoilers, but No, it's pretty
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, it had to do with the back end and the front end.
And remember,
I had a
front
good time,
back.
And I, you know, I think we told the story the way that we needed to, and everybody booed the shit out of me, and that makes me so happy, because there's been times in the past where I'm supposed to be getting booed and people still cheer me, and I get it. They're like, Felicia, big booby funny idiot, you know, like, yeah, woo! But it's like, I'm heel. Please boo me. You're supposed to be booing me. So they actually did, because I told them they were all gross. Yeah, I was like, none of y'all brought your hot girlfriends.
Oh, wow.
Well, and like the two people I was wrestling, you know, one's lesbian and one's bisexual or pansexual. I apologize. I'm unsure. But, you know, everybody in the ring was queer. Everybody in the ring was, you know, women loving women kind of thing. Ugh. And so it was fun. It was fun to play with. It was That's a fun gorgeous. Moment. I've worked with both of them in the past, so we got to do a little thing about that. Jordan was the opponent, and her and I got like mouth to mouth for me to tell her basically fuck off. It was cool. It was fun. I had a good time.
That's beautiful. So, yeah, I saw footage. Again, amazing. So good.
I just want, like, queer storytelling in all my wrestling, because why wouldn't we want
Oh, my
that,
God.
Right?
It's so much better. I was developing this idea, thinking about, like, I wanted to write about queer soccer players. I'm, like, obsessed with soccer right now. I'm not going to lie. But that aside, I actually read something about wrestling in my little 1440 thing. John Cena is retiring.
Cena.
Cena. Right? Like, that's a guy, right? He's an actor too, isn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah.
So, yes. so he's yeah. he's retiring after 20 something years or something crazy. 20,
yeah.
Yeah.
He's retiring next year.
Yeah, it's always
apparently.
I mean,
they all retire, and then you'll see them 5 years later, or 3 years later, or whatever.
Yeah,
like a special appearance that they get paid like $5 million
for.
Oh,
that makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Like, the Undertaker has retired 27 times.
Oh, you used to like that one, right? No, not the Undertaker.
Well, he's like. Blue Lives Matter dude. And
oh,
like weird,
see, I don't
you know.
Ever like know anything about that. So, you know, actually, that's a really interesting conversation. Cause
well, I would like to not know those things, but it is good to know it so that you don't support the shitbags.
No, totally, totally. And it's really tough when you find that information. I still like see people like mourning or trying to figure out the relationship with like Woody Allen and shit. You know,
right.
And it's always difficult. You know. Do you love the sin and hate the sinner? Wait, that's my reverse.
Well, like, I always say it like this: like, I can separate the art from the artist if the art isn't just the artist.
That artist, yeah, that makes sense.
You know, like if I can't separate the art from the artist in like an R. Kelly situation. R. Kelly's singing the fucking song. He wrote the fucking song. He's singing the song. I can't separate the two, but a movie that might have a shitbag in it or a shitbag behind the scenes or something like that,
totally.
As much as I would like to say, like, I can't support that either. Maybe I'm not going to give it money,
right.
But also there was a whole fucking team of people that created that art.
Sure.
It's not just that one person,
sure.
right?
Yeah. And then people
know.
Get into
I
the weeds
it's
with
tough.
That, right?
It's tough. Yeah,
it is tough. But I actually like your distinction, because it is a difficult thing. You know, I would say the same thing. When you're looking at a big piece, you know, like a Woody Allen film, there's, you know, a bunch of people in it. You know, they're delivering their performance in such a way. It's
right.
an ensemble thing. And frankly, Woody Allen is my least favorite part of every Woody Allen movie, because
right.
he's horrible.
I mean, and it's not to say that song production isn't a thing. I understand there's a whole team of people that also helps to create that
sure.
song. But I'm listening to R. Kelly sing the song.
Yeah,
is what I'm
it
trying
becomes
to say.
Really
He's
hard to
the main
to
star of the show. If it's
exactly.
a one-man movie, and he's the shitbag, I'm not gonna be able to watch it because that's all I'm watching.
I totally agree with you there. And
that's my own comfort. Other people consume how you want. Who am I to judge that?
No, sure. It is consume how you want, and it's like, look, you know, you're probably never gonna not see or not buy enough tickets to ever hurt that person financially. Right. So you know, but
whereas something like a J.K. Rowling, like, let's all mutually stop spending money on Harry Potter trademark stuff.
I know. It's like when your actors are even basically telling you to, like, the actors in the films are like,
all those actors are like, we're good. Yeah. You don't need the residuals. Like,
fuck you. We're not going to work with you. No, yeah. Totally. What a shame with that, I gotta say. You know, and it really shows, to me, it like also highlights that what I think is still a confusing division within the queer community over, like, trans rights and trans issues. And, you know, nobody has really, you know, there's been a lot of bandwagoning, but I don't think that there's been a lot of, like, true appreciation and solidarity with the struggle. I don't, you know?
I don't. I can see that for sure.
And that's, you know, that's always, like, a complicated and difficult thing because, you know, who gets to have these discussions in our community? Like, who's in, you know, you'll have like an HRC or whatever, which, you know, I've certainly spoken about having issues with in the past, but, you know, they can tell people to support certain things, but there's not ever really good campaigns on understanding our community. There does seem to be still a lot of, like, binary thought processes going on. It's either this or it's either that. And, you know, I feel like the younger generation is going to get this a little bit better than everybody else, because I do think things like, you know, fluidness and non-binary and, like, pansexuality, like, you know, they're scaring, you know, older people. They're scaring Bill Maher. It's not that there's a heavier incidence of queerness in the world. It's just that the definition for younger people is a little bit more broad, as I've always thought it should be. So, you know.
I am so into this, the new generation's, like, lack of giving a fuck.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, no, gender's fucking stupid.
It's fierce.
Sexuality. Yeah. I mean, I'm queer, but I'm not gonna pick one.
Yeah.
Why pick one? You know, I love that. I'm like, y'all are great. Like, I don't know. I just feel like I would have been able to present differently and just navigate life differently if I was in that younger generation. I really do appreciate that.
You'd get to be a little bit more of a blank canvas than we're actually allowed to be, you know? And
absolutely. Everything was so limited. And, you know, when I was growing up, everything was, if I really wanted to dress masculine, which I did, I had to shop in the guys' section of the store. Mm. And that's fine. But also, it's fine to walk into the woman's section or the unisex section and actually see, like, boundary.
Oh, yeah. There's a whole new line. You know? There's a whole new lines of male lingerie when you go to the sex shops.
Like, and all I think of that's these different things fantastic. That just, like, they totally just, like, you know, they push out those boundaries. They blur the lines. They just, I love that. I want to walk into I just don't even want. Like, let's just make it all unisex. And, you know,
I mean,
I don't know. I love to see that there is a new definition of presentation.
Absolutely.
And it's the younger generation that's really holding it up.
Absolutely.
And I love that.
Absolutely. And let's be real. It's always the younger generation on some hand, you know. And that's what I wish people would keep in mind, especially when you see kind of the older generation at battle with the younger generation and thinking, you know, we did this, why aren't you doing this or whatever. Every generation has different needs. That's how this works.
There's two types of people. There's the people that fought for the changes that the younger generations now get to reap the benefits of, that are excited that they get to. And then there are the curmudgeons that decide that it's not okay that they're not struggling because we had to struggle.
Right.
And it's like, well, y'all weren't the ones out there protesting. Y'all weren't the ones fighting. You were just kind of sitting back and doing your thing. And that's okay. Not everybody is cut out to be those front lines.
Absolutely.
But it's also not your right to say
sit down
that we we want you to struggle because we struggled. Well, guess what? All of your peers were out there fighting so that they don't have to struggle.
Yeah, it doesn't
the
make
next
sense.
Generation struggles a little less. And then the next, you know, why want the worst for the people that are in the same struggle as you? I don't understand.
Absolutely.
That.
And this to me, this always ties back into kind of that consent-based culture conversation, and I'll tell you how. Because in like the kind of queer, I don't know, we're going to get better at calling this the queer history journey or the queer coming of age journey, you're always told like rites of passage, whether it's like having to deal with somebody that touches you without their permission or somebody that puts you in a way or makes you think that it only looks like this or it should only be like this. I mean,
grooming in general.
Exactly. I will keep at this top or bottom culture thing until it doesn't exist anymore, because the reality is even that it's very segregating. It's such a thing that puts you and makes sex about identity, which it can be, but it's not always. Sometimes it's just about pleasure. And I don't like all of these things that really gatekeep what the younger generation is allowed to do. I mean, I find it absolutely horrifying when you see, you know, certain like news people or whatever talk about young people in this disparaging way. And when they're asked like, but you protested against Vietnam or you protested against nuclear power plants, what do you conceive that they're doing wrong or that they're not entitled to? You know, you just look around and say the country's GDP is this and the finances are all perfect, but you haven't really taking into consideration what the everyday struggles of people are and what people care about. You know, it would have been perfectly reasonable for nobody to care about like what was happening in Vietnam. And yet a generation chose to and felt very strongly about it.
Right.
You know, and I remember because I was in middle school for the first Gulf War. And I do remember the arguments come up time and time again. People are tying these yellow ribbons to trees and crap like that. And like, you know, if you weren't doing it, you know, and this cycle repeats itself. If you weren't doing it, people considered you unpatriotic or un-American or on this, right? And the same thing happened with 9/11 with the fucking American flag craze. And and follow the money trail, man. These things, and ironically, the majority of those flags were being made in China. So while you're being patriotic, you're also helping boost some other country's economy that you said you're horrified about. So I think there's like, unfortunately, a lot of hypocrisy in the way that we look at these things. And people do want to make a big generation war stink. And I did think that was going to get better. You know, I do remember my parents being like, my parents, and of course, I'm sure lots of parents are done, but like the Gulf War feels like an oil war. Why do we want to do this?
Right.
You know, at least when, you know, Vietnam, they were at least throwing the propaganda that like communism would spread and we'd be all less free. Not true, but also like, you know, at least a better story to swallow than, well, you know, they're not giving us their oil. And I mean, I'm sure they said plenty of other things about like they tried to propagandize it. But, you know, I did think that we were going to be in a time where at least our parents, which, you know, I have one parent that's a boomer and one that is not, you know, and I look at that and I'm very lucky that they were, for the most part, very like liberal, progressive leaning people. But you do look at them and you see them struggle with the Israel Gaza issue because they've spent their whole life. I mean, when my parents were kids, Jewish individuals were still not allowed in country clubs, you know? Right, right. So they spent years hearing a certain kind of thing, support, you know, the state of Israel at all costs, support these kind of things at all costs. And if you didn't, you were, you know, being anti-Semitic and all these things that right. are still being thrown around today, you know?
And they're conflating, well, the news is conflating, you know, anti-Zionism with anti-Semitism, right. and it's a huge problem, and I understand why the people that aren't only getting information through news sources aren't getting a clear understanding of what is actually going on, and so while I don't excuse their naivete, I also understand that, like, that's exactly, you know, when we're talking about a 75-year-old person that is only getting their news from the fucking TV, I'm not surprised that they're like, well, I don't know. No, you can't say that. You can't say Free Palestine because that means it's like, okay, okay, I get where you're getting your news from.
And well, and right, because you also have, you know, in general, and this is what I always tell people, if you want to know if your news is good, listen to see if they ask any follow-up questions or challenging questions about statements made. And we definitely saw with the news debate that there was no real-time fact-checking on anything. So CNN basically let a million lies be, like, said out loud for everybody to hear. So you are now complicit in the kind of propaganda machine of Trump, you know? And that's not news. That's not journalism. It's just not. If you're not sitting there saying, that's not true, sir, that's a problem, you know? Right. And it's either that these journalists don't know it's not true, or that's not the agenda for that network.
Right.
You know, we know for a fact.
I think it's funny that we started from the conversation of people, I guess, gatekeeping trauma or whatever. No, that's not the right way to say it.
kind of, though.
Yeah, people gatekeeping communities, if you don't endure trauma, is how I should say it,
right.
Into this full circle, because it's so true, though, that this is a really scary reality on our mind right now.
Yeah, is for sure.
As much as there's so many other things going on, and do we even have time or resources or money to care, it's like, well, what are we gonna fucking do?
Right,
what are we gonna do?
Yeah I mean,
if what are we gonna do? This is crazy. It's
I know, and it's funny,
we're fucked either way, but it's like, what level of fucked do we want to be? I don't know.
I mean, and that's always wild. The joke, look, I love that Jon Stewart is back on The Daily Show, because there probably isn't, like, a single human being relating the news right now that's doing it in an effective way, and it's certainly helpful for him that he's of Jewish heritage and he's able to speak, you know, very succinctly and honestly and humanly about these issues. But also the critique, you know, The Daily Show has always been a great critique of news shows at its its heart, right? It loves to make fun of CNN because CNN is so make funnable, you know, and fortunately we look at it today, and, you know, when Joe Biden got elected, there was a huge article about CNN being in a panic mode because their ratings dropped so much. And of course, they figured out, luckily for them, all this court stuff happened. And, you know, I am really, like, conspiracy like this. I think CNN has a vested interest in getting Trump elected because it was really good for their news cycle. You know, not because Americans want Trump to be president necessarily, but because the fear mongering involved and the constant addiction to the news cycle, what's he going to say next, what's he going to do next, becomes that unfortunately crazy psychotic echo chamber of doom and gloom that gets created in the world, you know. And it's CNN is entertainment. It's the liberal version of Fox News. It literally, in studies, most of CNN's content comes off of what Fox News is saying. So that's your echo chamber of information. Fox News says something that's not true, all of a sudden CNN is talking about it, and they're helping propel the lie. That's how it works, folks. But, like, you know, it's funny. I saw this joke, you know, I don't remember where, but it was basically, you know, every time this happened when George Bush Jr. became, like, president twice, a bunch of, like, liberal Democrats. I'm moving to Canada. I'm getting out. And, you know, you see it ramping up already. And I thought it was really kind of weird that 2 seconds after this presidential debate, CNN and all the commentators on it and, I want to remember his name. He's not worth my time. But the reality is immediately after the debate, they all were like, fuck Joe Biden. This is horrible. They immediately abandoned ship. And these are people who have been propagandizing since the beginning for Joe Biden. So What has changed? You know, he's been like a babbling old fucker like the whole time. This man was never a very good public speaker. If you see Senate floor seat, he speaks fiercely, but he doesn't speak well. He speaks like an angry old
fucking 81 years old, man. When I'm 81, I hope I'm asleep. Like, I hope I am
at a beach. Fuck that.
I want Cool Whip. I want Cool Whip. I want pistachio flavored things.
Oh my God.
And I want pistachio flavored things. I want a beach because it's warm. Maybe a desert. I don't know. But I do not want to be working. So what are we doing? It's just ridiculous. Yeah, I'm not trying to be ageist, but it.
At this point,
no way that we don't all agree that 81 retirement age is 65. What are we doing at 81? Trying to work for 4 more years? What are we doing?
Well, and let's be real. If you're 81, how in touch of the needs of everyday working people are you actually, or can you possibly be?
And you have a lot of money. You don't need more money. You just go home.
Well, you spent like your whole life in
all
politics.
Of them. Yeah. Just take a nap. Go to bed.
Take a nap. Go to bed.
Just go watch soap operas and go to sleep.
Go play with your dogs that bite everybody.
go and like honestly, I all of that was a joke, right?
Right. Sorry.
My point is, you should be enjoying the ride, like. Your poor wife.
The problem is,
you're gonna work for the next 4 years.
If you compare our country to other like developed countries, we're heavy on the old fucking men docket. And then what that just translates to me is you're not actually a good representation of the country. The people that run this government do not represent the spread of like people living here, you know?
I just think if you have to be 35 to be a president, you also should be under 75 to be a president.
Yeah.
Or something like that. It doesn't make sense. We're saying you have to have this much life experience. Well, guess what? You have to have this much brain space left.
Sure.
As well.
Well, and
I think it has to be on both sides of the coin. I don't know.
And
again, I sound ageist, but I don't know. Shit.
But
like 80 is not working age. You should be asleep.
It's not. And here's the thing. Despite like a real cognitive medical problem, cognitive decline is a part of age. We were joking about it earlier. Like, it just is, you know? It doesn't mean you're going to have Alzheimer's like tomorrow, but it does mean that your ability for your mind to keep up with multiple things or store multiple things is losing its capacity a little bit, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's okay. Let's celebrate that in a different way than making you president. Okay.
I know I apologize a lot because I'm so nervous that somebody's going to misunderstand when I'm.
I'm the first person to call out ageism. I'm the first person to call out ageism.
Yeah, but this isn't even. Call me ageist if you want, but this isn't even like you just said. If you break it down scientifically.
Yeah.
81 isn't the most spry, and to sign on for another 4 years of major decisions.
It's intense. It's intense.
Nuclear codes, the things that we always say. You know, people joke all the time. Oh, I don't want a woman in charge because she'll nuke a fucking. Oh yeah, okay, fine. We can make that joke, but guess what? I also don't want somebody that, you know, we at that age we're typically getting assistance for.
Sure.
I'm not saying every 81-year-old person needs assistance, okay? One of my step-grandparents just turned 90. She can play tennis for 5 hours a day. Like, sure. I get it, but it doesn't mean that I think that she would be the best one to make decisions about something fairly serious either.
And let's be real, in the corporate job America at large, if you go in for a job interview at 81, you may be protected by federal laws, but we know they're not hiring you.
Right.
You know, if we're all dealing with that kind of like age reality, I don't even want to call it age discrimination. I'll say age reality. And it becomes, you know, something that needs to transfer to all aspects. Otherwise, it does create, again, this unfairness in access. And there are other countries that have young, vibrant lawmakers. This country, the old people here have held on to power for so long because they do it through money and influence. It was definitely a fluke that somebody like AOC got into Congress. She was up against an old school, well-funded establishment Democrat. I think it was Peralta or something like that. And, you know, a local to the community I was living in Queens. And, you know, there needed to be a change. You can have somebody that supports all the same things as you, but you need somebody that does more than support it. You need them to start driving action for a change in the future, like taking political risks, listening to constituents instead of like corporations, things like that. So I say all that, you know, and again, I'll bring it back to, don't get frustrated. Organize locally. It's organizing politically on the federal level is a very frustrating thing to begin with, because you don't often get to see things happen. It's a long game, and I respect everybody who's in that long game, but I do think maybe we wouldn't be in this long game if we had focused locally more. And I think that needs to happen. You got to take care of the people in your community. You got to make sure nasty shit isn't happening to your neighbors based on discrimination or anything like that. So, you know, I'm hopeful, because I do think, again, kudos to the young people. Y'all are fierce. You're not putting up with shit. They have like dragged you now through the news cycle for fucking months now. And really, the youth have been absolutely dragged, because that's how afraid those old white men are of you getting power. So keep at it, because like, the more they drag you, the more you know that you're making an effect. So
yeah. I tried so hard to find a way to switch this conversation.
Hey, we needed to talk about it, you know?
Oh, no. I'm just saying, like, at the end of your thought, I was trying to come up with a transition, and I couldn't. So, for the record, I was trying, and I couldn't. Let's talk quickly about that Hawk Tua girl. Have you seen the...
What's that?
The wild... Oh, okay. So, there was this... that, you know, people interview people on the streets, and they put it online. There was this guy that did an interview on the street and was like, what's one thing that'll keep your man around for a long time, or something like that? Uh-huh. And this very like blonde, just like girl next door kind of pretty girl answers. And she's like, oh, you got a Hawk Tua, you know, put some spit on that thing, or something like that. Wow. And she's now become like a viral sensation. It's funny because a whole lot of people in the queer community are like, that's so boring. And how is that not just vanilla? And then a lot of people in like the straight community are like, you know, jizzing their pants over this girl who says she spits on dick, which is, you know, it's like step one. I don't know. But it's funny. But she's gotten super famous off of it. And now everybody, like, there's tons of memes and all of that. So my question to you is, are you a Hawk Tua girly, or are you a gag on it till it gets wet girly?
Okay, full disclosure, the latter. But
yeah,
also if it's like a getting it wet kind of situation for like penetration afterwards, I used to be like completely satisfied with like a nice gagged wet dick. Lube has changed everything in my world.
Now you're lube. Well, this was this was blowjob specific.
Oh yeah, blowjobs. Yeah.
Understandable. About I was the same. I was a spit all the way, and now I like when I'm doing myself in the butt, I gotta lube it up. I have to.
Yeah. No, and again.
So you gag on the dick to get the dick wet.
Yes.
For me, yes. I don't know why, but like I don't just have, unless like I just sucked like a sour candy, I don't just have like an abundance of spit in my mouth. I don't know, and I'm not trying to like. No. Chortle or whatever.
I smoke like, a lot of weed. The only option is fucking.
We have dry mouth. So I feel like there's two categories. There's people that have the spit in their mouth. They can just hawk to a.
And people
that
don't.
And then there's the people that need to shove it down their throat. And then it like rains spit.
Yeah. You know? No.
You gotta gag yourself to get the spit.
Well said. Yeah.
That's me. I'm a gagger, not a hawk-tua. Really.
Hawk-tua, gagger. Yeah, also, I got to tell you, this aesthetically, I've never liked it when somebody is blowing me, and I'm not, like, a big fan of, like, you know, I've had guys, like oh, spit in my hand. Like you're both jerking off. And I like spit and nasty, kinky sex and stuff, but... Something about hawking a loogie, I was like...
Well, not a loogie.
Well, okay, fine. Not a loogie. Okay, sorry. Not a loogie. But like, that's what reminds me of when people go, you know.
Agreed.
It reminds me of that.
Thank you. Agreed. And like, there's no guarantee that somebody isn't doing that.
Yeah.
So
that doesn't make me wet, literally and metaphorically. So.
Agreed. I'm not a huge fan of just that. Because for some people is just spit, for other people is nasal passage nonsense.
I'm not a spitter or a quitter, okay?
Yeah. Right.
Exactly.
I miss my old self sometimes. I think about being like 19, 20 and just
being filthy.
You know? Yeah. You're just a different type of whore. I do miss that. But at the same time, it's like, I graduated on.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, it's
the next level of whoredom.
Right, the next level of whoredom. And desires change, and, like, you do things and you want to do something different. I think that's all fair, you know. I see people as they're aging get depressed about not having the same whatever that they had younger sexually. And, like, you can have different things and they can still be exciting. You gotta meet yourself where you're at.
It's more for me, it's not libido, but it's more of like sense of abandon. Like I was
for sure
I was okay not knowing I was gonna make it out alive.
Yeah, no shit. But you know, that is interesting. I mean, I definitely miss unencumbered, no time clock or whatever kind of sex encounters where you just fuck for days and, you know, enjoy yourself. And
oh, see, I didn't mean that. I meant like truly if I was going to make it out alive because,
yeah,
you know. Because
you're a scary fucking whore. Yeah. I mean that with affection, of course.
Yeah, I was, you know, I was a little rough and tumble. That's why I'm missing part of my jaw. So let's be for real right now.
I rue the day that my jaw doesn't do what I want it to anymore. You know, it's still faring pretty well.
Yeah, mine doesn't. I don't have quite the opening.
Oh, no. I can still unhinge that shit like a snake. You know, we're good.
I wish. I'd eat a lot more.
Wow. Only at the screw do you get a little bit of screw with a little bit of politics. It's all the same screw. Let's be real.
All the same screw. Well, sex is political, so.
Amen. And personal. Impersonal is political and political.
Listen, politics, not even all of that, but also politics dictate the way that we have sex, and they always have. So
absolutely.
Let's not pretend like they don't. They do.
I want to fuck like a revolutionary always. That's my goal.
Like the revolutionary
Come on, I just feel like revolutionaries, they're filled with like passion and like gusto. Like it depends on the kind of revolutionary, right? Not a right-wing revolutionary or an autocrat, although there are probably some pretty kinky scenes with like a Stalin-esque like type, but
Jesus Christ almighty.
Anyway, thank you. Thank you for joining.
I never thought you'd be canceled before I'd be.
I know. Thank you for joining the Screw Podcast. We may not be here next week, but
if we go underground, we'll have to use our Patreon.
Yeah, there we go.
Thanks for tuning in to the Screw.
Thanks. We missed you all. And
let us know in the comments. There's not a comment section. Okay, wait. This is uploaded on YouTube, too. If you are listening on YouTube.
Fuck yeah.
Let us know in the comments. Are you a hawk to a girly? Or are you a gag till you drench it girly?
Oh, I like
or,
that.
Or, sorry. Not, I'm not trying to say everybody that listens is girly.
Or everybody that gives head is girly. You may be. Right. You may not be.
No, I wasn't saying any of that. Are you a hawk to a person or are you a gag until you drench it person? Let us know.
Okay. I can't wait to hear.
Yeah, me too.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.